Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. I'm your host, Justin Matheny. We enter region basketball play where 20 of our 30 teams have qualified for the next phase in the state tournament. We'll do a quick rundown of the girls' side of the games on Friday night. Pickett County hosts South Pittsburgh. Van Buren County hosts Red Bull and Springs, and Clark Range was supposed to host Richard Hardy, but Richard Hardy canceled due to lack of participation from their girls' basketball players. So the Clark Range Lady Buffaloes advance to the next round of the region tournament, which will be Monday night at Livingston. On the 2A side, the Upperman Bees host Bledsoe County. York Institute will travel to Cumberland County, and DeKalb County also travels to Sequatchie County. For the 3A side, the District 6 3A champs White County Warriorettes host McMinn County. Stone Memorial travels to East Hamilton, and the Lady Cavaliers of Cookeville travel to Bradley Central. All of those games are set to tip off at 7 p.m. Central Time. On the boys' side of things in the 1A bracket, the Monterey Wildcats travel down to South Pittsburgh. Clay County will host the boys' Richard Hardy team, and Van Buren County hosts the Bobcats of Pickett County. On the 2A side, the York Dragons will host Bledsoe County there in Jamestown, and Upperman will also host Sequatchie County in Baxter. On the 3A side of things, the White County Warriors host Walker Valley. Stone Memorial will play at Bradley Central, and the District 6 3A champs, Warren County Pioneers, host Ootawah, while the Cookeville Cavaliers travel to one of the top-rated teams in the state all year, Cleveland. We start off our first interview in Warren County with head coach Chris Sullins, who saw his Warren County Pioneers beat White County on a last-second buzzer beater, 78-76, from junior do-it-all guard, Mr. C.J. Taylor.
It's been a while since Warren County's had that top win. I think we talked about it this morning with some school officials. It may be 30, 35, 40 years since the last time that they won a district title. Just proud of our guys from top to bottom. They've been laser-focused this past week and really for the past month. You know, we talked about it many times. About a month ago on a Friday night, going to Stone was probably was a low point in our season. Our kids just locked in. They're starting to believe. And then you take CJ. I mean, he rebounds the basketball, and we've worked on something for 5 or 6 days. It's probably a 5 to 7 second top call in that situation, and CJ just threw that out the window and said, "I'm going to length of floor and shooting it." And I was okay with it because CJ Taylor has that type of he's got that type competitive nature. He's a kid that really wants to take that top shot. I think a lot of kids say they do. CJ's that type of kid that wants to because he'll live with the results and got an open space and hit a huge shot, and that being said, that was just a great atmosphere. White County was Slatton, Winningham, Dotson, Clark. Those guys have been in that situation before. Coach Mitchell, I got all the respect in the world for him. He's probably one of my best friends in the coaching circles. The atmosphere was great, and just I'm glad it turned out in our favor. Just a great high school basketball game.
That last sequence of the game, White County has a young man go to the free throw line, hits a layup, gets fouled. He misses it. So the game's tied at 76 there with right under 6 seconds to play. Like we said, CJ gets the ball, pushes it up court, takes a shot. How different is that shot, though, with the game tied and potentially that the game being down one? Because you miss a shot in the game tied, you're playing in overtime. You miss a shot and you're down one, the game's over.
I think it's a lot different in that aspect, too, because – if he makes it, then you've got a baseline out of bounds throw in, and they're probably going to pressure it. And you don't really know who's going to. You're going to try to get the ball in certain kids' hands, but Sparta's going to do a good job of taking guys away. And anytime there's a rebound situation, you may have some guys that are out of position or those type things. I don't want to say the pressure's any less because I think CJ hits it both ways. That being said, I don't think we get that type shot. If he does make the free throw, like I say, CJ ripped it. He had a grown man rebound, ripped it out of the air, and when he put it on the floor, CJ Taylor's got good speed, and he turned the corner on a couple guys and got an open space. But I do agree with you. That's a different shot and a different circumstance altogether if he hits that free throw. So very fortunate that we got the rebound in that situation. And you know, and we did have second life if he didn't hit it. But that being said, I don't think there was any doubt when he left his hands. The young man knew it was going in.
I think CJ knew it was going in. I think the whole gym knew it was going in. He ripped the net there. It didn't hit anything but net. Just a phenomenal sequence there to end the game. But with that win, it allows you to host now Ootahwah there in Warren County on Saturday night. And what does that matchup with the Owls look like?
You know, I mean, I think they're a very athletic basketball team. They've seen really good competition in 5 AAA basketball. They went up against the Clevelands and Bradley Centrals. I think that's got 5 to 6 losses combined with them. Ootahwah's playing good basketball right now. There's no doubt. I think that offensively, we'll have to do a really good job of moving the basketball and try to eliminate some of their athleticism. Defensively, you know, we'll have to do a good job of getting guys off the boards. I think they're a physical basketball team that athletically could cause us some issues. That being said, we've played really good at home here lately. Our biggest struggle will be is getting our guys focused after a win like this. Right now they're on top of the world with social media and text and phone calls. You've got to make them understand at 3 o'clock today we've got 6 hours of preparation, and we've got to prepare Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, because winning the district's great. We take nothing away from that, and that's a huge goal for any basketball team. But now we're on to the region tournament. We want to keep this thing going.
Coach, you stole my next question. I was going to ask, you know, just the mountain you have as a coach to climb with your young players there, and players at any level are going to be pumped up and ride that high of a game like last night for a while. But at the end of the day, last night's last night, and you've got to get ready for Ootahwah coming to town to, because if you lose Saturday night, the season's over.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the first time this year we played for our lives, so to speak, and everybody will be playing for their lives on Friday and Saturday in both boys and girls basketball. You know, girls Friday night and boys Saturday night. You lose, you go home. That's something that we'll have to echo, and we didn't echo it as much last night because you're walking a fine line. You want these guys to enjoy the moment. You want them to understand that all the hard work that they put in pays off, but you also can't let that go too long. It's time to lock back in. I think it's an advantage that we are at home. And when I say that, I think when the crowd will be into it. So there's always that tendency to have a natural letdown. But I think with our crowd and our home folks, that could dispel a little of that.
A win will put the Pioneers back in White County on Tuesday night to face a winner of Cookeville and Cleveland. In segment 2 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we hear from the Stone Memorial and DeKalb County girls. We're back for segment 2 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, where we check in with Mike Buck and the Lady Panthers at Stone Memorial. Emma Capps and Tessa Miller, just like they have all season, really played well in the district tournament there in White County.
Well, you know, both of them are really highly skilled people. Their size is an advantage most nights for them, but they haven't. The cool part about those two, you know, young ladies is that they haven't just, you know, settled on, you know, the fact that they're bigger than everybody. You know, they really have worked a lot on their game, and they're talented, highly skilled kids. And so I'm not the smartest guy, you know, out there, but I do know to go get to all of your best players, right? And so the rest of our team has really bought into that too. We try to play to our strengths, and those two obviously are our strengths offensively, but they do more than that. They're part of a good team defensive schemes most nights, and so just two really really good players that have done a lot for our program so far. And a great year this year. So
I can't let you slide off here with asking about Emma Capps and her wrist. Notice she was taped up there before one of the games. Is she okay?
Well, you know, she was she had 29 points on that bad wrist, and so if it gets better, I plan on happening a little bit with a stick or something to make sure it gets back in the same way. Now she's a tough kid. It's just, you know, I think it's some tendonitis working in there. It's just soreness that she's having to play through. And she's a tough kid. Puts a lot of time in, like I said, and so she was at the chiropractor this morning and, you know, getting different things looked at and trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, ex Panther basketball player Brock Bruins. Dad is a chiropractor up here, and he's worked a lot with him over the last several years here. So I'm sure she'll be fine. But yeah, scored 29 with a bum taped up wrist. I'm sure she would take that at most nights as well. So she'll be good.
Well, Coach, when we look back to that game against White County, again, don't want to take anything away from White County, but sometimes it's just better to be lucky than good. And, they still had to drop the play, get the ball in, sure. Then bank in a three there to send it to overtime and wind up winning. But that's just how the ball bounces sometimes.
It is, and I definitely don't want to take anything away from them. They played really, really good against Warren County. They played really, really good against us, and then they backed that up with a really, really good win against Ray County. So they're playing well right now for sure. That loss, I feel like I'm as responsible for that as anything. I made a bunch of bad decisions in that game, and had some matchup deals that I felt like we would be okay with, and knowing I could have made some changes. Hindsight is always 20/20 in everybody's eyes, but I really felt like I kind of let our girls down. I kind of lost some focus in that game, but again, White County definitely earned it, definitely deserved it. They got a lot of girls who are playing really, really well, and then that's just one of those things. The neat part about what we did during the regular season, going undefeated, the district tournament is a special deal. Obviously, it's all the local teams. We have five teams in the district, which, with the work that we did in the regular season, it allowed us the opportunity to get that free bye into the region tournament.
We now jump from Stone Memorial to DeKalb County. The Lady Tigers are headed to the region tournament after a third-place finish in the district. Head coach Danny Fish said he likes the toughness he saw and just wants to see more consistency from his girls.
I mean, we've talked about it, in the past. We're just tough. We get into some spots where we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot, but, we just keep playing through it and, found ways to win against Cannon and, same thing in the Constellation game against York, just found ways to win those games. I'd like to, to see a little bit more consistency at this point in the year, but, we've played our teams in the 8AA three, sometimes, even four times. So it's hard to stay in that rhythm because we got so many good teams in our district and we got so many good coaches. That's what they're going to do is try to, get you out of rhythm and, try to get you away from things that you do well. But, our kids, they showed a lot of heart and, a lot of toughness in the tournament. I was very proud of that.
I think even the game against Macon, I know that the offense didn't get off to the start I know you would have liked. You only score 2 points in the first. You don't make a field goal. But I felt like the defense really still gave you a chance to be in that game.
Yeah, defensively, I thought that we were doing what we needed to do in the first half, besides a couple of, buckets in transition that they got. That's what I kept telling my girls is that, tonight's the night that, we hopefully – would have played a little bit better on the offensive end. I just felt like we were super passive on offense and, kind of not playing to win, but kind of keep from messing up a little bit. And, that kind of handcuffs you sometimes. But, our defense, we held them to 28 points in the first half. And, they traditionally this year have shot the ball really well. And I thought that, that was our chance to kind of stay in it and be in the game with them. And, second half they come out and, we do a little bit better job, but, they get rolling a little bit with some shots knocking down and, we'll see, but, I liked what we did on defense. We just need to have the same type of energy on offense as we do, when we play D.
In segment three of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we hear from Upperman head coach Dana McWilliams and the top-ranked Upperman Bees, and from Josh Hurd, the first-year head coach of the Coopville Cavaliers. Welcome back to the third segment of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. We start off our third segment in Baxter with the Upperman girls basketball team. The Lady Bees are in the region tournament after finishing second in their district tourney, one that head coach Dana McWilliams recognizes as having some of the best talent in the area.
Well, you know, I think it was a very competitive tournament, and you know, we got ourselves in the championship game again this year, and so we were thankful for that. And you know, we wish it had, the outcome had been a little better, but happy for my kids to have a chance to compete for a championship.
When you play all these teams as many times as you do, because you see them so often in district play, are you still able to find different things to learn when you play them again in a district tournament?
Absolutely. I mean, we do all know each other really well, but there's always a few little things that, you know, come to light after you play over and over again.
The first game I want to talk about is the York game, because it felt like it was really, really close for three quarters and both teams were really battling. And then it looked like your defense ended up being the difference in the end.
Well, I'm not sure we did much differently in the last quarter that we did throughout the game. I think, you know, for us, you know, that was an 8-day break, and it was our first game coming back out. And, you know, there's a little nerves for kids when it's the first game that they're competing in the district tournament. And so, you know, I think we just got a chance to settle down a little bit through the course of the game.
As far as your younger players like Abigail and Jayla and Anna Grace, how do you feel like they did their first time around in tournament play?
Well, I think they did really well. I think it's tough to be young. You know, Abigail and Jayla being freshmen, Anna Grace being a sophomore, and you know, coming in and playing big minutes in important times in the season in the district tournament. But I thought they all did really well.
So you had a couple kids make the all tournament team. Is that good? A good reward for them, just because of how much work they've put in and how they've performed for you?
Well, you know, it is. Anything like that is always nice for the kids, but, you know, we try not to focus on individual awards here. You know, it's a great accomplishment for them, and we're definitely happy for them. You know, I thought Ayanna Levy had a great tournament for us. So, you know, I think she's just getting better and better every game.
Do you think she's playing some of her best basketball of the season right now?
Absolutely. I think she's probably the past month, probably 4 or 5 weeks, you know, she just, each game just keeps getting more and more confident. And, you know, she's such a talented player, and to see her grow through the season has been a real joy to watch.
I've noticed that she's been scoring a lot more lately. Do you think that's just the product of a more aggressive mindset, or is it just the opportunities are coming a little bit more? What do you see there?
Well, you know, we've always known as coaches, you know, how great of a player Ayanna could be and will be. And I think for her, it's the confidence now that she maybe didn't have as much last year and the beginning of this year. I think, you know, as she's maturing, she's just becoming a more confident player, and which is, you know, helping our team all around.
We stay within Putnam County for our next interview as we travel to Cookeville to hear from Coach Josh Hurd and the Cookeville Cavalier boys. The Cavs are 7-2 over the last 9 games. Coach Hurd, what's gone so well since the end of January?
You know, we started to buy in on that whole defensive concept, but just playing a little bit harder and getting after it a little bit more. You know, and it shows in practice, and you know, it shows that games do as well. You know, so, you know, it took a little time, but, you know, the boys are buying into each other. You know, they are getting a better feel for each other with the new system that we're running. And, you know, I think it's starting to pay off a little bit now.
And, Coach, your matchup Saturday is with Cleveland. You've played them twice. You played them really solid there at home, 80-68, and they're one of the best teams in the state. And then you went on the road to play them and took kind of a tougher loss, 82-49. So what have you – do you hope your guys have learned from those first two matchups against Cleveland so far?
Well, you know, this will be the first time that we've actually played them man-to-man, for one. You know, every other time we went against them, we've always had some type of zone because, you know, we were just worried about this player or worried about this player and worried about this player doing this and that. And, you know, I told the coaches that, you know, we're not doing that. You know, this time we're going to play them just like we played anybody else in our dish. We're going to get up and guard them hard, man to man, and you know, we're going to do our new, our switching defense, and But for the most part, we're just going to do what we do anybody else. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it's going to be a different, it's going to be a different feel because, you know, hopefully they're going to see that we're not just going to lay off them and just wait and see what happens. But also, you know, at their place, we went to our man-to-man defense, and it was not the man-to-man defense we have now, but we did play in man in the second half. And if you actually look at the scores from the second half of that game at their place, they were actually pretty regional. You know, it's almost, sort of close. So, you know, I'm going to remind them of that. So that just gives them a better confidence feel that, you know, hey, we can guard them man-to-man if we have to. You know, so, you know, it's going to be a big, you know, adjustment for us just mentally. You know, knowing what they did to us both times, you know, we're going to have to be able to put that out of our mind and also just believe that we can actually beat them.
And, Coach, how important is it for you to do what you do and not let the other team dictate what you do?
Well, I mean, it's a big thing because I'm hoping, you know, my kids are feeding off of me, you know, and that's just something that I've, you know, learned throughout this first year of coaching. That also entails, you know, in practice, you know. So if we're putting in stuff because we're worried about this and worried about this and worried about this, you know, that's going to give them a feel that, you know, golly, man, we can't do anything. They're going to, you know, I feel it gives them a false pretense of what we're going up against.
We will travel south down 111 from Cookeville for our only stop in the fourth segment of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, where we will visit with the White County girls head coach, Michael Dodgen, who just won the District 6 3A championship. Thank you for joining us for the fourth segment of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. The White County Warriors girls basketball team lost their season finale to Stone Memorial. Since then, White County Warriorettes have won 3 consecutive games over Warren County, Stone Memorial, and Ray County to claim the district title. According to head coach Michael Dodgen, it's all a product of them simply coming together and playing better as a team.
Well, I think we've gotten better, you know, obviously offensively. We've shot the ball really, really well, and we've been consistent, which is something that we've not particularly done very well. We've shot free throws better. We've finished at the rim better. And then we started making some open shots at big times, which, you know, there for about 2.5 weeks, we weren't making a big shot to stop someone else's run or to expand our run. And I just feel like over the last 3 games, you know, we've been able to do that.
I'll go back to the Stone game first, the one in the district tournament. So they get up, I think it was 10 points after the first quarter. What was the message in the huddle?
Well, we even talked about it before the game and on Sunday before we played them on Monday that, you know, they're going to go on a run. They're going to make some shots early. You just can't put your head down and start panicking. And I thought for the first time in the 2 previous times that we played them, we didn't panic. We just played. And we slowly started chipping away at their lead and you know, ended up, I think we were down 4 or 5 at the half. And, you know, we just stayed with it. And that's the thing with Stone. Stone's got a lot of weapons, you know, from their bigs to their guards can make shots. And, you know, you just got to play defense and you got to keep them off the offensive boards.
And then against Ray County, I know you had obviously very, very kind words to say about Mallory Hampton, but just how hard was it to game plan for her?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, she had 33 and made some tough shots. But I really feel like as the game went on, we wore down a little bit by just being able to switch. You know, we went with both Cannon and Kendria, and then we put Elaine on her for a little while. And, you know, so we were able to run some different people at her. But, you know, a kid like Mallory, you're not, you know, you're just not going to stop her. You just got to contain what she does. And big thing about Mallory is you got to keep Mallory off the boards. You know, the shots she does miss, she's phenomenal at going back and getting the offensive rebound and putting it back in or drawing a foul. And I felt like we did a really good job of keeping her off the free throw line. I know the time we played them in Ray County, I think she shot 18 free throws. So I think she was 16 of 18 from the free throw line. So, you know, you got to keep kids like that from creating another point or 2 points for themselves just based off the free throw line.
This tournament seemed like it was a really, really good time for a lot of your perimeter players to get going from three, because I know that everyone shot the ball really well against Warren County in that game. Gracie obviously has the huge game against Ray where she goes 7 of 10 from three. But was it good to see players like Elena and Morgan kind of get their shots going a little bit more from three in these games?
Absolutely, because when you get in the postseason, I mean, people are going to try to go after your you know, obviously your top two or three shooters, and you got to be able to have people in the back that can do what they need to do and make shots and get shots off and, you know, able to stretch defenses out. And, you know, obviously, I mean, Gracie did shoot the ball well, but, you know, against Warren, I think we hit 15 threes that night, and I think six different people hit a three. You know, when you can start getting that confidence, start getting that shot selection made by other people, it just helps you out down the road.
So the next player I want to talk about is actually one that hasn't suited up for you in a while, and that's Mia. How has she been as kind of that voice, even though she's not able to play right now? Has she still been a good leadership voice for your players to look to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mia's a leader. Mia's one of those kids that, you know, we've counted on, you know, since she's been a freshman, and to come in and give us a lot of good minutes. And, you know, it's an unfortunate situation that she's had to go through. But I think the kids are seeing how hard she works, too. And she's working hard with her rehab and working hard on everything that she does. And, you know, and she's there. You know, she's there. She's supporting her teammates and doing the things that she needs to do to help her teammates out.
So for Mia, we'll transition on over to Nia. Was it a gratifying moment for you as a coach to see her as a freshman, one, play as well as she did in this tournament, and then, two, get that recognition of being put on the all-tournament team?
Well, for her, yes, because, I mean, she has played well the last couple weeks. And, you know, she had shown signs of that for us throughout the season. And, you know, she's just given us a spark that we've needed. And it's a spark that we're going to continue to need, but going into Friday and then, you know, hopefully next week for as long as, you know, we survive in advance. And, you know, she's just one of those kids that's continuing to grow every day and continuing to grow every time she steps on the floor. And we're just going to need her to continue to do that and continue to learn and not be satisfied and continue to keep working hard.
So you guys get to host a region game. You get to host your, you know, the region for the first time. You've told me before, for the first time in years. Just how big, and I know I've been there, but for the people that haven't been to a White County game, how big of an advantage is that home court for you guys?
You know, I've said this to you numerous times, and I've said it to a lot of people numerous times. The atmosphere at White County High School and at Roy Sewell Gymnasium is as good as an atmosphere as you're going to find in the state of Tennessee. I mean, our game, the championship game, and the semifinal game against Stone, I mean, for girls basketball, those gyms were as loud as any gym I've ever been in for girls basketball. And it's a passion in White County for girls basketball. You know, we don't have to worry about our kids being, you know, starstruck or whatever you want to call it when we go play in a big game, because, you know, they get to play in those type of atmospheres every night. And when you're used to playing in those type of atmospheres, it doesn't bother you. And, you know, our gym and even, you know, last night for the boys game when White K and Warren K boys played, you're not going to find atmospheres like that in a lot of places in the state of Tennessee for high school basketball. And, you know, our kids are fortunate. And I don't think they realize it until they go away and play at some other places, how really fortunate they are that they get to play in front of those type of atmospheres, in front of, you know, people that they see every day in the community. And
in the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, built each and every week by Mountain Barn Builders, we visit with the Pickett County boys and the Van Buren County girls. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, brought to you by Mountain Barn Builders. Even after a tough loss on Saturday, Coach Aminette said that he thought his Bobcats are playing the best basketball of the season.
I think we competed pretty well. There on Saturday night, you know, it was our third game in 5 days, and we had a realistic opportunity to win the game. We just kind of ran out of gas late, but I felt good about my team. I felt good about how they competed. I felt good about the plays they made. And that, you know, the main thing, I felt good about how they were communicating with each other. And because there were some some calls that didn't go our way, and they, not that I'm saying that they were the incorrect call. They were just some 50-50 decisions, 50-50 balls that didn't bounce our way. And we got through it. We got on to the next play, and I thought we were focused, and I thought we were at a point that we were getting ready to play the best basketball we've played all season long.
But they did really they got in Zach's jersey there early and made it really hard for him to score. I felt like he forced a few shots, and his shot just wasn't falling early. What was your message to him?
You know, I think with him is, you know, they're going to be real physical, and whoever plays us is going to try to be physical with Zach. That's just how they're going to guard him. And you know, he was, he had some shots that didn't drop. They were difficult shots. But they were highly contested shots that didn't drop. And, you know, the thing that I tell with him is to not get frustrated and to get some tunnel vision and not get distracted by the things that are going around, you know, the people holding his jerseys, the people that are hand-checking him. And then if he'll just keep playing and trusting the process, it'll come naturally to him. And it did. You know, in that fourth quarter there, I think he hit six or seven shots and had about 18 points in the fourth quarter. And put us in a position. He and his teammates put us in a position to win. And you know, it's one of those things with this double bye and this district tournament. It worked out well for us, but it is hard for that to be your third game in 5 days. But on the flip side of that, for Clay County, you know, they sat for 8 days while they were really rested. When you go eight days and not play. And another team's had an opportunity to play on that court, there is a little bit of advantage to the other team as well. So I kind of see both sides of it. But, you know, the message to Zach was just to keep on competing to get on to the next play. And I knew that he'd get it turned around. He was able to during that game.
What were the Aminette brothers able to do so well against Monterey to get to the line there late in the game?
You know, I think that they, and along with their teammates, you know, we had some other kids step up and make shots. We shot We shot really well from the free throw line that night, and we didn't turn the ball over. We were strong with it. We've had some other games that late in the game that we made some costly turnovers instead of being able to hold on to the basketball to convert free throws. And, you know, I think they just did a really good job of executing what we were trying to do offensively and getting in the right spots, making the right plays, and not panicking. Now, we were tired. I'm going to be honest with you. My kids are tired. You go to play in four games, highly contested games in 7 days, and you got a bunch of kids that are 16, 15, 16, a few of them 17 years old. They're going to be tired. They're going to be physically tired, mentally tired, and they were tough enough to get through that, make the plays, and put us in a position to finish third, which we're excited about.
We now hear from Van Buren County girls basketball coach Tyler Sapp, whose Eagleettes have only lost three district games in the entire season, but all three of them came to Whitwell, who just present a matchup problem for the Lady Eagleettes there in Spencer.
They got four to five they can put on the floor all at one time. They can shoot the ball really well. They score the ball well. And presents a little bit of a matchup problem for us. They play a little little trapping zone in the half court to give us some fits at times, but besides that, I mean, they're just a really good team. They're fundamental. They're not going to beat themselves. And, I mean, you know, when you play somebody like that, it's going to be tough.
And, Coach, you played them again Saturday night, and you played them the best you had all year, and there's a potential for you to see them again on down the road. But what did that game – how did that game play out there?
We were down 12 in the, at one point in time and cut it back to – 10 or 9. We never did really make a big run until the start of the fourth quarter. And then we went on a 20 to 5 run and went up 6. And then we missed two front ends, the 1-1, where they fouled us. And we took poor shot selection, three trips down, and they come back and tied it. And then eventually went up. They hit it. Seneca Barnett hit a big three in the corner that put them up three. And then we failed to make a field goal after we took that 6-point lead and just kind of didn't have it offensively, missed free throws. Of course, I sent you the stat book. You saw how poorly we shot free throws during the game. So, it just, if we hit, you know, 60% from free throws, we win the ball game and we ain't even got to worry about it. But I just struggled to score the ball the last four minutes of the fourth quarter.
Well, that game's done and over with, and now you look ahead to play Red Bull and Springs this Friday night there in Spencer. How's that scout gone, and how do they look, and how do you match up with them so far this week?
You know, they're a very good team. They're 22-11 on the year, so you don't get to be 22-11 in that district that they play in without being good. They're good. They remind me a little bit of Whitwell, probably better. Got better shooters than Whitwell does. So, and they're very guard oriented, and you know that kind of puts us in a little bit of a matchup problem because we have some big girls, some posts, and you know I don't know if we're going to be able to go out and guard their guards. They like to play a lot of five out stuff. So we'll just have to see how the matchup goes, and hopefully we can, you know, hopefully they're having the same problem with us, trying to match up with our length and our size as we are with their guard play.
Thank you for joining us each and every week on the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to log on to ucsportsnation.com to see how all of your favorite teams and players fare over the start of the region tournament this Friday and Saturday throughout the Upper Cumberland. ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge. For Rusty Ellis, I'm Justin Matheny.